Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. So, welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today, I'm joined by Ben Clench, who is a traumatic brain injury advocate and an international development specialist. He's also an inspiring speaker. I was introduced to Ben by his powerful TED talk, Follow the Patient, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the author of the book, Ben Again. Hi, Ben. Thank you so much for coming and joining me.
Hi, no problem. Thanks for inviting me.
I loved your TED talk. It was incredibly powerful. Was it something that you ever thought you would end up doing?
No, not at all. I didn't have any plans to do it. I didn't want to do it before the accident. And then after the accident, I mean, yeah, obviously that threw my life into, well, into turmoil, basically died, but survived, which is fascinating in itself. But it took me in a massive U-turn. So, you know, this podcast is about adulting.
Yeah.
That I can say, well, you know, I was adulting a bit when I, you know, before I had the accident. And then I basically had to do the whole of my life again and become an adult and discover, you know, what being a person is like again, from being able to walk, to talk, to try to be responsible for myself.
It's kind of it's a hugely unusual situation to be in. And has what being an adult is, has that really changed for you? Or how has that changed for you?
Well, it's just like gone straight there, you know? I've just, all of a sudden, I was like, it's like having the accident was like, well, as my mum says in the book, it's like going from zero to hero. It's from starting from nothing. You have to rebuild yourself and your life up so quickly that, you know, I mean, I couldn't really remember the old me. I'd say to people, you know, so what did I do this before? You know, did I take drugs before? Did I do that before? And my friends would be like, yeah, you used to do this stuff all before, Ben.
And so would people who knew you before,
yeah,
they know you now, would they say that your personality has changed?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I went through a phase of having no fills on me.
Yeah.
So I just say whatever came into my head. And some people, I mean, obviously everyone was surprised by it. And for some of my friends, I really, you know, I told them the God's honest truth.
Mm.
Someone told me that, you know, they were still doing this job. And I knew she hated it, so I told her, what the hell are you doing? get out that job.
Mm.
She did. You know, two other friends, they met because of my accident, because they lived in different countries. And because I was incredibly blunt, I said, you two would be perfect together. And now they're married.
Okay. And I guess that's the flip of being that honest, right? Like sometimes it's going to work out, sometimes it's not going to work out. Some people will take it with the energy with which it's intended, and other people might be a bit affronted or, you know, a bit shocked by this level of honesty or this level of truth that's being projected.
It was funny in many ways. I was saying it was funny rather than shocking. I mean, I did another master's to try and get back to where I was before.
Yeah.
And I was in lectures, in seminars. I stick my hand up and I say, you know, I remember this guy, basically, and I know that he was an arsehole, but I don't know why. Can you tell me? And then, you know, lecturer go, yeah, lots of people say that because of this.
Mm. And have you ever played on it? Have you ever taken and used the extra capacity or the extra patience or the ability to get away with saying, you know, really blunt things? Have you ever used it on purpose?
No, I wouldn't say I have used it on purpose. I mean, that's where I was. I mean, I think now,
yeah, you know,
that's become evened out. I'm not so blunt. I'm just rude all the time.
and to some degree you deserve that, you know, like I often think that old people should be allowed to be really rude because they've lived through so much. And in a way it's like the same. You've lived two lives. You've been through such a huge amount. And, you know, there's a level where you are entitled to your, and all of us are entitled, right, to be whoever we are and to show up however we are and however we want to be.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with the consequences of that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's kind of funny. Of like, it's a process of like, you know, I am alive, and that is just amazing that I am alive, and I've been through this experience, which has seen me be so honest to the point of really shocking people.
Mm.
That's calmed down now. That's not like it was a few years ago.
And where did the drive come from? Like, you know, in terms of you had this accident, 27, your girlfriend was killed. You like you said, you went on to do another master's. You've proved so many, you know, tons of people, doctors, specialists, scientists said it wasn't possible for you to have the recovery that you've had. And it is remarkable. Where do you think that drive just the willpower or the determination came from?
Well, I wanted to be who I was before, you know. I didn't want this to define me. So I was desperate that it wasn't going to define me. And I can't say, yeah, it doesn't define me. I mean, it does define me. But I guess my efforts to overcome what it's thrown at me as you know, because of my expectation, I've dealt with it in the best way that I can.
Have you made peace with what happened? Or are you still really angry? I mean, are you angry? Sorry, that's an assumption on my part. I would be really angry.
Yeah, yeah, Yeah. No, I'm not angry. It happened, you know. It was an accident. It was an awful accident. But I'm so lucky to be alive, you know. You know, my girlfriend, I couldn't remember for 2 years, didn't survive. And, you know, I couldn't remember her for 2 years. Even though I knew she had died, I had no reference point in my brain. And then the fact that when those memories came back, there was just, that wasn't trauma, that was just such happiness, like, God, you know, things are coming back. I'm becoming me again, you know?
Mm.
And that was wonderful.
If there's anyone listening to this who has, you know, I can imagine that people are listening thinking, God, I haven't had anything that traumatic happen to me in my life, and I'm pissing and moaning about my life and how hard it is and how difficult it is, and actually this is putting things into context for me. Have you got any advice or words of, because your joy of being alive and just the gratitude that you have for being alive,
yeah.
So many people don't have that, and I guess I'm intrigued. I'm like, how did you find that?
How did I find that?
Yeah, was it just always there, the gratitude for being alive?
No, of course not. You know, I was a young man, and I, you know, used to, I was very lucky before, and I took that for granted. But believe me, when you come so close to death, you know, I was dead for a bit, you know, effectively, apart from the fact that I had my heart pumping, everything else is dead. How can you not feel lucky to be alive with that? I mean, I am so lucky to be here. For one, I'm so lucky to have the support of my family. You know, when I got let out of hospital, all the doctors and stuff said they wanted me to go to a care home. And my parents were like, no. It's going home with us.
Mm.
Like, I imagine a lot of people would say, all right, yeah, get home. And I'm so lucky that my parents didn't want me to go there.
Mm.
They went back to my old house, had my old friends, even though I was incredibly rude.
did that help trigger memories and help you find Ben again?
What do you mean?
Going back to your old home and being around your family and your old friends.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
Because, I mean, how strange would it be to be in a care home? I mean, you just feel lost, and then you wouldn't have the drive at all. You'd just be, fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see how having that support led into the drive, you know, and if they're going to show up for you, if they're going to support you, then you're going to return that energy and that effort by showing up for yourself and by pushing yourself to remember and to find parts of yourself again and to do the kind of the rehabilitation work.
Yeah.
Was writing your book a part of that process?
Yeah, I guess so, because Well, I mean, it was told to me by a medic in Hammersmith Hospital. You like, you know, I think this was when I was doing my master's, getting my second master's, and he was doing brain scans, and then he was showing them to conferences with lots of other medical doctors and things and saying, so, you know, let's see then how good brain scans are. And he showed two brain scans. He said, can you please tell me how you think these two patients are getting on from the brain scans? And they all said I was in a wheelchair, gonna walk and talk and do anything. And the other one was fine. And then he was like, yeah, well, that just shows how accurate brain scans are. The one you think's really bad, he's doing a master's. The other one is in a wheelchair.
Wow. Wow. And so have you, are you now doing international development works, and are you back at work and doing, feeling useful in that way?
I am doing international development, but not like I used to.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be a researcher and I could do things very quickly, very eloquently. And now that's not as easy as it once was. But I mean, the one thing that it has done for me is it's made me a persistent bastard. You know, I'm trying to create development projects for this organization that don't work in development. But I said to them, well, they said to me I could be a trainer for what they do. And I was like, oh, I don't, it doesn't excite me. I don't like that. I come from a background of development. And the main guy was like, oh, interesting. You could do that for us then. So it was like, all right, off you go and do it. But it does kind of mean I'm left to my own devices to make it happen, which I don't know, has been, well, difficult for one, trying to find the right people who take it on. But also it's been quite good in you know, the persistence that I have. I keep going, and I don't let people off the hook. They've got to reply.
And that's a wonderful, wonderful skill, which many people could do with a bit more of.
Well, being a pain in the ass.
No, patience and persistence. You know, I think, yeah, many people could do with an extra dollop of persistence.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you want us to know about your book? I'm going to put the links in because I really want people to be able to easily find it and click through and go and buy your book. Is there anything else that you'd like them to know about it?
Well, yeah, I think it's useful to read, just, you know, for yourself, for whoever, but also to kind of see a brutally honest depiction of how the fuck you get up after something, you know, as awful as what happened. And, you know, it gives you, it shows you the light at the end of the tunnel. Of course, I'm not there yet, but I'm moving towards it.
I think it's a really powerful and inspirational book. I've got actually two friends who both had strokes at 35 and who are going through the process of learning, one of them how to kind of walk and talk in the way that they did before and find that speed and find access different parts of her brain in order to be able to do that. And another friend whose memory just isn't what it was and who's finding that, you know, a real challenge. And at the same time, both of them, I think, would also say that there's been some insights and some lessons for them in that. Initially, you know, you're not looking for it. It's a process and it unfolds. So,
yeah.
I think it's really, really important, this work that you're doing, by sharing your story and by speaking and by writing. And so I just really wanted to say thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing with us. And we'll put all the links that you've given us to the TED Talk and to the book so that people can find out some more.
Yeah, cool. Thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure. And thank you for coming on and talking about adulting and your journey with me today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.